Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
For goodness sake, Kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
You know, I watched the press conference, obviously, and then I read the transcript of it. When you read it, it sounds lawyerly and elegant, but it was not persuasive. I don't think he persuaded anybody that he did the right thing. He had a tremendous amount of evidence against Mr. Epstein, and he should have indicted him and then negotiated with his lawyers rather than holding that indictment, that 53-page indictment that they drafted, which outlined names, dates, places, faces. They held it in a drawer, and it never saw the light of day.
Hmm. We're out of time. Your prediction, does he go or stay?
Who?
Acosta.
I don't think he'll be around by Friday.
Ooh, Friday. Judge Knapp saying Acosta's length, he's got like 24 hours, probably not even from now. Real quick before we get to Tyrus, Tony, you want to set the table? Yesterday, we aired a lot of that press conference, but where we are right now on Alexander Acosta's relationship to the Jeffrey Epstein case and why he's kind of wrapped up in this.
Yes, Secretary Acosta, in I think 2008, was a federal attorney in Florida when Jeffrey Epstein was charged with prostitution, a couple charges sexually related down there. And he, in a press conference yesterday, rolled out why he put out the plea deal that he did. He's getting a lot of flack because he was the one that made a plea deal with Jeffrey Epstein and that case, which only gave Epstein 18 months in jail. He only served 13 months of it, and he had to register as a sex criminal, and there was some restitution paid to victims, and people are saying that wasn't nearly enough, and Acosta cut this, you know, sweetheart deal for Epstein. Acosta says that if he wouldn't have stepped in and his office wouldn't have stepped in, the local police there were about to basically give him a slap on the wrist. He would have spent no time in jail. He would have not been registered as a sex offender and would not, and no restitution would have been paid to any of the victims. So he basically said, we came in and we did what we had to do. We wanted to make sure he went to jail. We wanted to make sure that he registered. We wanted to make sure that these victims were compensated in some way. And so that's why we did what we did. If we would have taken it to court, it would have been a flip of a coin and maybe he would have walked away scot-free. And so that's basically what he's saying. He said, I did what I could to make sure that he paid some price for his crimes. He went on to say that he hopes that this new case in New York gets him even worse. But people are still saying that that Acosta should not have cut that plea deal and that he gave him a break on a lenient sentence. So,
all right. Well, that story will continue to develop if you listen to Judge Napolitano there. Maybe tomorrow will there be some big news in there. Let's touch the tires about it.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Tyrus, Fox News contributor, host of Nuff Said. Good to have you on the show again today.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
It was great to meet you in New York. The city is bigger than you are, but it was also great to see you as well once we were there and visiting.
Yeah, it was. I had a great time. How was your award look? Was it a big trophy? Was it small? Like just a sheet of paper? Like what was it?
It's a pretty. I would say it's a pretty heavy, like, solid looking award. It's got its own box and it came with a towel to polish it, which is strange for me. So it's legit. If I never win another award again, I'm pretty proud of that one, I guess. Katie keeps making me, my producer keeps making me talk about it or address it, and I keep trying to figure out ways to not.
Yeah, that humble pie you eat all the time is difficult for you, but
I know how you like pie. This would go back to pie. When you were, I want to ask you about the Acosta situation right now, because I wonder how much people are really after Acosta, the labor secretary, because he did something wrong or because he's part of the Trump administration. I feel like everything political is either anti-Trump or pro-Trump. That's pretty much how we define ourselves on political lines these days. But do you think that Acosta has a reason to be stepping down here, even as soon as tomorrow, according to the judge?
No, there's absolutely no reason to step down, and it has absolutely nothing to do with whether he's a Republican or Democrat. When he was a lawmaker, he had a case in front of him. They made a deal, and the guy went away, and he went away for a year. And like I said, I don't know all the facts of the case and stuff, but we're all of a sudden shocked that people with money make deals. Like, this kind of goes around. Let's take a look at every lawyer who's serving either in the White House, the Senate, or the House, and let's look at their conviction rates, and let's look if they made any deals. So, I mean, this was, what, a decade ago?
Yeah, it was like 2008.
And now because the guy's under, he's in trouble for the same thing again, or similar things to that. But the state of New York also had an opportunity back then to go after him because I believe there was two victims in the New York area, or alleged victims, or whatever you say today. But so, I mean, a deal was made. He went to jail. There wasn't a huge outcry after that. So it's always funny to me how the social justice warriors come out and he needs to resign from a new job where he doesn't make those type of decisions anymore in terms of sending people to jail and that. But when he was there, no one was calling for his job after that. Now, if he made that decision and then, you know, there was a huge outcry and an investigation in the ethics committee and he was disbarred, then I would think, yeah, then we have something to talk about. But that's not what happened.
Yeah. I feel the political undertones are the thing. That's the thing that always ends up coming up to the top and driving interest, public interest, or more so media interest in trying to exact a specific outcome here. And I don't know that Acosta is really going to be safe from that, but we'll see. Certainly. I want to ask you a little bit about the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Nancy Pelosi infighting, but on a grander scale. It's weird to look at a bickering between Nancy and Ocasio-Cortez and look at Nancy, at least from where I see it, and see her trying to be the more, like, rational, realistic one in that specific situation. Yeah, the pro. And I look across the Democratic nominees, potential candidates to challenge Donald Trump, and I see a lot of the same bickering taking place there. Just your 30,000-foot view of what this Democratic Party, where's the heart and soul of it right now?
Well, that's the issue. In a perfect world, I think every presidential election, there should be two solid candidates that fight to the bitter end, and the best guy, according to the American people, becomes our president. You don't want our president to run against a soft person or he's not tested. He doesn't go through things or she doesn't go through things because then that will serve them for the task at hand. The problem with the Democratic Party, as I see it, is they don't have an individual. They don't have someone who stands on their own 2 feet. Everyone falls in line or everyone is offended together. And then they're all victims. They're all at the pleasure of the mainstream media. Cortez is because the media runs her all the time. Like they did, they're doing the same thing with her that they did with Donald Trump. Like They like to, they don't complain about her. They make her the victim or the hero or whatever. That's they're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Where if it was anybody else, it would be you just came on the job. You've made a lot of mistakes. Early on, you protested when you could have just knocked on the door. I mean, there's a lot of things that were, but anything she does, they're just hoping that it catches fire. They need to put that same energy that they put on her on one of these candidates, because here's the thing. President Obama, when he was stepping down, there was a reason to have a large pool of Republicans coming together to figure out who's going to do what. and they fought hard amongst themselves. And Rubio and Trump and those guys, they went at it, and they fought hard, and Trump ended up being the best guy, but he also united the party, and he energized the American people. You couldn't go anywhere without, whether they were good, bad, or indifferent, his name was out there. Everyone was talking about him. News was covering him. Whether you hated him or you loved him or whatever the case was being, they're talking about him. And if you look at the way this path has, we still are just going the Democrats, the pool, because no one stands out. I think they're afraid to stand out because you can't stand out if you please everybody. I mean, even the situation with McConnell's dumb comment about, like, him and Barack Obama have something in common. They both are descended from slaveholders. And I was like, oh, that was dumb. I don't know where you're going with that or what you were trying to do. Like, you're trying to now say something nice about a president that you obstructed the entire time he was in office. And Cory Booker's reaction, he couldn't even give a real reaction. Mm-hmm. My reaction was, well, that was dumb.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, but he's like, I'm speechless. And he immediately went to the victim and the fake shock and awe. And I mean, it was just, that's where we're at with the Democratic Party. Nobody has the nerve or the guts at this point that I've seen to stand up and to take shots. They all go like they, and if anyone does, the closest guy to standing out, I stand corrected, Vice President Biden started to stand out, and look what happened.
Yeah, they attacked him.
They destroyed him. Yeah. They made him apologize. And that's the problem. They don't get it. The American people don't really care about people. I'm sorry I did that. I wish I did this. Like, when you start saying, listen, this is who I am, take it or leave it, they respect that. Same thing, Barack Obama did it. John McCain did it. And, you know, and President Trump definitely did it.
Sure.
I think that's a lot higher. And then they're not getting that. They're the whole thing where they want everyone to be offended with them. And I just don't see it. I think this is going to be a really one-sided election because of the fact that nobody will step out from the social media warriors that are running the Democratic Party, and they don't realize they only make up 10% of the social media population.
Yeah, it is definitely a squeaky wheel situation, and the more that this carries on, and it's going to carry on for another 18 months, I think you're going to be proven even more so right. Are you located, when you're at home and you're not in the big city, are you located where these storms are headed?
New Orleans is about 30 miles from where I'm at, and it's a big giant bridge between me and them, which I'm good with, and a giant lake. Now, I did see some tornadoes on Lake Pontchartrain, which is but luckily it's the biggest bridge in the United States. So there's a lot of water for those things to burn out on.
Yeah.
We're on what they call the high ground, if there's such a thing in Louisiana. So we don't get flooded very rarely, and we have really good drainage systems and stuff. The problem is with the Mississippi River looking like it's going to overflow,
yep,
and the levees aren't able to deal with it, and the fact that we're still not figuring out how to handle that. The cities, the New Orleans in that area, what they call, I think, called North Shore or whatever, they're all in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, New Orleans was underwater for the first part of yesterday morning. So I luckily avoid it, but I don't avoid the wind storms and the rainings. And if a hurricane does hit, it's just a different damage, although knock on wood, there hasn't been any flooding in Mandeville since I've been there, but that doesn't mean that it couldn't.
Yeah, we've...
But it's still rough all the way around because, you know, it affects... Louisiana's very compact in terms of, like, when one thing is affected, it tends to affect a lot of other things. So...
Yeah, I pass the Mississippi River every day, and we've been facing, like, very, very severe flooding of... At worst it's been in about 25 years here in our area in St. Louis. And so we know all about that river being swelling as much as it possibly can. And I've seen some of the images, the tornadoes, the flooding. It looks pretty significant. So we'll keep that whole area in our thoughts and prayers.
While we're on the subject, let's not forget about poor Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got flooding over there. That the Midwest and the farmers in the Midwest keep getting just pummeled. So I think... And they're not getting on the news, which is bothering me.
Yeah, like, I'll tell you, I know those farmers personally, and I see, because I'm like Facebook friends with them in real life. They can't plant, and if they can't plant, they can't. That's how they make their money.
I had the honor to go to school in Nebraska, and I got my education, free education, from the good people of Nebraska because played football and I paid attention to my books, but there's a lot of good people out there. And like this weather stuff is really, we need to really start looking at it more seriously and maybe take a little time off of these sound bites on these people who are fake upset and deal with people who are really, really in harm's way.
Yeah, I think so. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I want to make sure people check out, I saw your promo for your latest Nuff Said with the Barstool Sports folks, right? Is that the one that's out right now?
Yeah, with Dave Portnoy. Yeah, he was a different dude, but he was probably one of the most refreshingly honest people I've ever met.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time in St. Louis here recently.
Yeah, he was trying to heckle for the Bruins, but why did I fall for that? I walked right into it. Yes, I also saw the video where the margarita was being mixed.
Yeah,
you guys are enjoying your. You know, that's what they need to do. You need to put that out there. One of St. Louis Blues needs to come on the show and let you interview the Cup for the day. You are an award-winning journalist now. So
I'll put my very tiny award against sitting right next to you. You know, I got to tell you this too, Tyrus, and I didn't mention this when we were there. While we were in New York City talking to you, the Stanley Cup was actually in the building here at the radio station, and I missed it so I could come to New York and talk to you in person. So you're important to the Andy Fry Show. We're always grateful to speak with you.
Yeah, was it me or the award? Okay, whatever. Either here nor there. I'll take it.
Take it as I said it. But, I meant it.
You know, I put it in the universe, you know, get an interview with the Cubs, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we'll see what we can make happen. Katie's good at stuff like that. Tyrus, make sure people, I want to make sure people go to subscribe to Fox Nation and get all of the amazing content there, like Tyrus's show, Nuff Said. And we definitely enjoy it here on the Andy Fry Show. So, Tyrus, thanks. Appreciate you coming on again.
Thank you. You're the best.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon. Tyrus at Planet Tyrus on Twitter. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take some phone calls. We've got a couple people holding here. 314-241-9797 if you want to join them. 314-241-9797. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Great to be with you today. It is Thursday, and that means tomorrow's Friday, and that's wonderful. So happy to be with you. I want to remind you about the Andy Fry t-shirts that we have right now. You can go to 971talk.com/merch and purchase an Andy Fry Show t-shirt. I believe we have some here that you can get that will be sent directly to you. The cost for that t-shirt includes shipping. And I don't ever talk about that. And I remembered that we had them. And I always see my shirt at home and I'm like, I should talk about that more.
They're so cool. They're orange, which should stand out, and very comfortable. They've got a really cool photo on the front, not of Annie's face.
That's weird. No wonder nobody wants these.
But of a little radio, it's cool.
It's not a t-shirt that's just like Annie Fry Show. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of a cool retro-y looking t-shirt, and it's super, super comfy.
So comfy.
It's a good quality shirt. 971talk.com/merch if you would like to get yours. If I sell a few more, I would like to create a shirt that has to do with Illinois. I kind of want to create one that's for Illinois residents and one that's for Missouri residents that makes fun of Illinois residents.
That would be really fun.
And then we should donate all the proceeds to moving trucks.
To U-Haul.
I mean, trust me, folks, if the people listening here are engaging in the conversation about how I talk about Illinois politics, people in Missouri will comment sometimes on our Facebook page. They'll be like, we don't want all those. This is what they say. Their words, not mine. We don't want those commies moving over here. And I'm like, you know, honestly, if they're people who are listening and engaging in our web, on our show here, chances are we wouldn't hurt your political system too much.
It's going to be
We're the
fine.
Ones who have the sense to get the heck out.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an article on from the Chicago Tribune that says high property taxes causing Chicago residents to leave. I'm like, oh, really? No, no sugar, Sherlock there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's obviously the way this goes. Don't act surprised. Who are the fools that are going to be left? Me.
Yeah.
Crap.
The people that love the state so much that they've been fighting for it.
So we've talked a lot about, well, I wouldn't say we've talked a lot about the soccer team because I'm sick of talking about the soccer team. I'm sick of hearing about the soccer team. I'm sick of trying to think that me shouting into a microphone here is going to change the way Megan Rapinoe thinks. It's not. Just like the way she shouts into her microphone, is it going to change the way I think? So we've discussed that a little bit, and I've made a commitment to you that barring any sort of extenuating circumstances, I'm not going to play her voice on the show anymore. You know what she stands for. You know that she has a strong message to send, and it's been all over the place, and frankly, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm happy that the United States women's soccer team won the World Cup. I congratulate them on that. Yay. Girl power, USA, USA, and scene. Moving on. Done. I don't need it. If I'm going to watch a soccer game, I'm not watching it so that I can get political commentary. I get enough of that in my life. If the soccer game is on my television screen, I am moving out of the realm of political commentary and into the realm of do something exciting that makes me think about other things other than political commentary. So we've talked a bit about that. And I was also pointing out this article. It's a very deep dive into traditional marriage roles. Miley Cyrus is talking about how she has a complex and modern marriage to Liam Hemsworth. And as Katie pointed out, she doesn't even want to be called wife because it makes her feel like she's in a 50 cigarette commercial. All the wives out there, who knew?
Doing it wrong.
Yeah, Miley feels sorry for you. Little does she know, I feel sorry for her. I want to get to Mary's phone call here. Thanks for calling the show, Mary Helen.
Hi.
Hello.
So, yeah, I'm glad I don't judge my marriage by Miley Cyrus. I mean, I remember her when she was a small child. Yes. Yeah. I mean, in this day and age, all marriages are modern marriages. I mean, even if it is more traditional, which mine is. You know, my son actually got on my thing on YouTube and says, Annie, I have a mom and I'm insulted. I mean, he cooks and he's 15.
Yeah. You're raising
him, then
right?
And then later when you guys were picking on AOC, I was actually on my way to work. I called him at the house. I'm like, hey, you have something in common with AOC. He goes, I don't like that woman.
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's just bizarre to think that Miley Cyrus is like trying to like forge this new pathway away from what she views as the traditional wife role. And I'm like, if you want to open your mind and see the future, you can come to St. Louis, Missouri and see women all over the place doing what they want, how they want it, in happy marriages where they are engaged in giving of themselves with partners
exactly.
who also give of themselves. And the selflessness is what makes it great.
Right, and it also rolls back into the guy who's running for the governor of Mississippi. You know, it's like this fourth wave feminism is just shooting themselves in the foot all over the place. Of course he doesn't want to travel with a woman. It's the Me Too movement. They thought they were empowering us. They're not. We empower ourselves. I mean, I was a stay-at-home mom for years. I only recently went back into the workforce because most of my kids are out of the house. The ones that are at home, I can trust to not burn the place down.
I hope they're still listening.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, actually. Hi, Wyatt.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, buddy.
And he turns you on. I mean, okay, the radio. He turns the radio on at noon every day right before I leave for
That's
work.
That's fantastic.
So.
Well, we appreciate that,
great.
Mary Helen. Thanks
for it. But I was told by a person on the internet one day that because of the fact that I choose to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom and wife, that I was by myself setting the women's movement back 100 years. It's
That's
like,
insane.
Wow. I did not know I was that powerful.
No kidding. We got to speak with you today. That's just absolutely amazing. And Mary Helen, thank you so much for calling the show and thanks for being on the chat.
Yep. See you later.
Yep. See you soon. I think that's hilarious. You know, the idea that women can now choose to stay at home and raise their kids, that's the privilege, folks. I'm telling you right now that if you are somebody who has the ability to have a wife that stays at home and takes care of the children and manages the house, that is not easy to do. It requires a significant amount of sacrifice. There are women who are very capable of having fantastic, you know, money-making careers that are choosing to stay at home because they can. And if that's not something we are going to celebrate alongside those women who decide to go to work, excuse me, and, you know, provide for the family because they know that they would not be a successful version of themselves if they were home all the time. My kids are probably listening right now, and I will tell them straight to their faces at this moment, I am a better mother because I go to work. And there are women who are listening who can understand that exactly as well. But the truth of the matter is the women's movement, going back to the 50s cigarette commercials, actually produced a situation where I get to choose to go to work and Mary Helen got to choose to stay at home. And now she gets to choose to go back at work. And none of that has any bearing on what Miley Cyrus thinks about anything, because clearly she's making a slew of fantastic decisions in her life that we should all abide by. I don't even know where I would begin to try to to mimic or invoke anything. Look at Katie's eyes.
To understand her lifestyle, I can't even begin. I don't know where to start.
Yeah, it really blows my mind. Real quick, Garrett, I want to get to your phone call before we take a break.
Yes, I was just calling. Thank you for the shout out for the farmers. I'm literally sitting in my tractor right now listening to you guys.
Oh, that's wonderful, Garrett. Thank you for what you do. We all appreciate it.
On the Illinois side, so once again, taxes and fuel and everything is just more expensive.
Moment of silence.
And in the Mississippi area where we are now flooded and most stuff won't go in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was just really calling to see, I don't know if anyone has actually asked the soccer player. You know, I understand I you know, support the LGBTQA society as well, but no one's actually asked her, like, what she thinks of transgender teams due to the fact that she could probably lose her job due to someone taking her place being better that is still technically a man, you know, in that whole aspect. I don't know if we fully think everything through. This is one question I have that I haven't heard her answer directly yet. So,
Garrett,
kind of wondering.
Yeah, yep. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And thank you for what you do. We are all grateful for all of the farmers, especially in this area, who've been fighting the crazy, crazy rains. You know, when it comes to putting that conversation, certainly is one that continues to come up in the news where there's a transgender female, which when I say that is a male that has transition to a female. So a transgender female participating in female sports and the massive advantage that they have over the girls who play in these sports. I was an athlete. I played four sports through my senior year of high school, and I can't imagine the disadvantage that I would have been in that scenario. And I, you know, it becomes difficult to discuss because you don't want to be exclusive to anybody. But we get to the point where, you know, this is kind of a libertarian view that I have on a lot of these things, which is in general, like in government, I want everybody to have as many rights as they possibly can until those rights start to seep over onto the rights of somebody else. And when your pursuit of happiness and your, you know, exercising of whatever rights that you have or want to have start to limit somebody else's, then we need to be having a conversation about it. And, you know, I honestly have not been listening to everything that Megan Rapinoe has said because I don't care. I don't care. I know that there are issues that need to be discussed, but she's using the wrong platform she's using the wrong time to do it. I wish she would have waited until we could celebrate as a country together, and then she could celebrate what's great about this country. And if somebody wants to ask her in an interview how she would improve it and she wants to answer that question, I'm not going to hold it against her. But like, all we are talking about is equality and fairness, with the assumption that everybody who doesn't agree with everything that she said is somehow full of hate. I don't hate anybody. I mean, I really don't care what you do in your life from a political standpoint. I am not somebody who is looking to lord anything over the top of you and take over your rights. And you know, we've lost the ability to celebrate this World Cup championship in the midst of that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Fair Communications Director. It's fairus.org online, Dave Ray. And he's going to talk to us about the president's effort to try to make this citizenship question appear on the census by virtue of executive order. Dave Ray, when we return, in the whole 2 o'clock hour, is for you and me to have a conversation. So if you want to get your place in line, 314-241-9797. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On Sunday, this is the Hispanic evangelicals. On Sunday, west of the Mississippi, our people are in church. And as they prepare to go to church, they feel very threatened and scared by these raids. So hopefully the president will think again about it, or these groups will weigh in. Once again,
Nancy Pelosi weighing in on the ICE raids that we have been hearing about, definitely getting a lot of coverage in the mainstream media about what's coming next here with the president's attempts to try to protect this country and exact some security in our southern border. Not getting much cooperation there from Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the House for sure. But we also have the question of the citizenship question being included on the census. So we're going to talk about those issues both to Dave Rays, the Fair Immigrations Communication Director, online at fairus.org. Dave, thanks so much for coming on with us today.
Hey, great to be with you, Katie.
So I have a question for you. When the census has the question on it or doesn't have the question on it as to whether or not you are a United States citizen, why would somebody want that on there? Why would somebody not want that on there?
Well, the census is a constitutionally mandated approximate snapshot and inventory of who is in the country, how many people there are, where they are, what their status is. It asks, gets a snapshot of who is here in, when the 2020 census is taken or 2010 census, and that is used for allocation of resources, for congressional reapportionment, and so on. And so the more information you can collect, the more valuable the census actually is. The citizenship question was asked right up until 1950. It makes sense to know whether or not people are citizens or not. I don't understand what, the information that is being provided is confidential. All of it is confidential, guaranteed by the Census Bureau. So it's not trying to. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
It's not trying to ascertain if somebody's here legally or not. It's simply trying to ascertain if a person is a citizen or not.
We're speaking with Dave Ray here on the Annie Fry Show. Fair Communication Director. Fairus.org is the website. Why would it have been taken off in 1950? What was the reasoning for that?
It was taken off in an attempt to shorten the form, and then the question was asked in the American Citizenship Survey, also called the ACS, which went out to a very much smaller portion to try to solicit the same information. But if you really want to get an accurate picture of who is here, it should go back on the long form, which goes to everyone just once every 10 years.
So the president has talked about, the word ICE raids is what we're hearing quite a bit discussed right now. The president is looking to move some people out of this country who have been given their time, their due, and their day in court. Tell me what these ICE raids actually are and whether or not they would benefit our ability to know who's in our country and keep
right
up with our immigration system.
Well, what is so confounding is that there are 1.1 million people who are in the country who have been ordered deported by the immigration courts. What this means is that they have exhausted all legal avenues for remaining in the court. So some of them have committed crimes and have been ordered removed. Some of them came in here asking for asylum and were denied and were ordered removed. Of the 12.5 million people who are living here illegally today, 1.1 million are walking around with orders from our government to leave, and they have decided to ignore those. You know, the fact that the president has announced he's going to go after 2,000 of them, I don't even think is newsworthy. I mean, just to give you an idea, in 2018, they went after, they deported 250,000 people with final deportation orders, and of them, nearly 60% of them had actually committed crimes in the U.S. So these are people whose presence in the U.S. In many instances presents a public safety issue, but certainly they've had their day in court and they've lost. I mean, we are at a point now where if we don't, and this goes for any law, speed laws, smoking laws, alcohol laws, if you don't enforce the laws of the nation, the laws become meaningless. And that's what we, you know, if we can't send home people who've exhausted every avenue, every legal avenue available to remain in the country and have still lost and been ordered by the courts and they chose to ignore that order, then we have a real problem on our hands.
Yeah,
And the other thing is that nothing helps control future illegal immigration like enforcing the current laws on the books and ensuring that those who are meant to be removed from the country are removed.
I got about a minute here, Dave. Do you think that the American people are starting to gravitate towards President Trump's understanding that this is a crisis? Because we've heard from the other side of the aisle that there was no crisis. The president seems to be pushing back on that and saying, no, there's absolutely an issue that we need to be addressing here. Do you think that the American people are in President Trump's camp, gravitating towards it, or does he still
absolutely
have a lot of work to do?
No, I think absolutely people understand there is a humanitarian and public safety crisis at the border. The Border Patrol, if you don't want to believe the politicians, the Border Patrol has been saying it for nearly 18 months now. I've seen it with my own eyes. It is going on there. The fact that the Democrats chose to politicize it and to ignore it right up to the very last minute, now they want tours of the facilities to talk about how aghast they are at the overcrowding, although they've been told by the Border Patrol for months on end that they're overcrowded, that there are more people coming in. That what's most outrageous, though, is the one thing that would stop this is closing loopholes in our asylum laws, which would be very easy to do. The Democrats absolutely refuse to do that, and instead what we have here, they've allocated some monies to put a Band-Aid on a badly infected wound. The infection remains, the cause remains, and the Band-Aid will have to be changed again soon. So we have not solved the problem. We've simply taken away some of its sting, but the problems that exist in U.S. law that have incentivized people to violate our laws in record numbers are still there.
Well, Dave Ray with Fair Immigration, online at fairus.org. We appreciate your expertise on this issue, and we look forward to see what the president does next to try to keep our country safe.
Great. Yep. Great being with you.
Talk to you soon. Fairus.org is the website. Let's take a quick break. The 2 o'clock hour I've got open. You can give us a call, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. We're going to talk and get the lowdown here from Frank in the 2 o'clock hour about the Major League Baseball players that are saying that the pay is unfair, and the word strike is being thrown around. I think it would be by 2021 is when the deal would need to be reached. But we'll get the information from Frank next hour and also take your phone calls. And we'll also find out what my 3-year-old daughter thinks I do for a living. You will not believe it. We'll have that for you when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.